I would ask you to please turn this morning, brethren, to the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, John 21. You may recall that we read some of these verses last Sunday. John says, he describes an event where Jesus met with seven of the apostles on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection. And John tells us that on this occasion, this was the third time that he met with the apostles as a group after his resurrection from the dead. He's been crucified, buried, dead, and he's risen the third day. And John records some of the things that Jesus did following his resurrection. John says at the end of the gospel, he said, if I wrote down everything that Jesus did, if they were recorded, all the things that he did, he said, I suppose all the books in the world could not contain the things that he did. What he's, I think, saying there is there are things that he did that are not recorded, many things that he did. But, brethren, I'll tell you what, we've got plenty to study and plenty to rejoice in the things that are recorded. And we don't do a very good job of studying what we got. So we ought not to worry about what was not recorded. But we just concentrate on what we do have. I want to read verses 15 through 22. John 15 through 22. And then I want to go back and give you a little background of some of the preceding verses. And then I want to try to make some comments about verses 15 through 22. Beginning in John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I end reading there. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that we have it. We can read it. Now and any time we want. We have it. Reading it. As we are not studying as we should. You tell us that we're to study. To show ourselves approved unto you. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God. Oh Father, bless me to rightly divide it this morning. Give me insight, please. I don't have it. I need it from you, Lord. I confess it. I need it. Give it to me, Lord, so I can feed your sheep, so I can be fed. so we can learn of You, growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Oh Lord, feed us now, please. We thank You for Your Word, Your written Word, that we have it. Use it now, Lord. May we use it to Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, I love this. I love this passage, brethren. I love this narrative account of Jesus on the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, on the shore. I want to review for just a moment about this. We started out, brethren, in verse 15 where it says, "So when they had dined," breakfast is over now. Jesus has fed the apostles. They're also disciples. There are seven of them. This chapter starts out with, after these things, after Jesus' resurrection, brethren, after His death, burial, resurrection, after He rose from the grave, brethren, it says He showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's chapter 21, verse 1. And John says, and this is what happened. On this wise showed He Himself. He showed Himself to them in that room after His resurrection when Thomas was not there. We studied about that. And Thomas then showed up later and he says, I don't believe it. I've got to touch Him. I've got to see. And so then they were together again, the 11 of them, I believe all of them with Thomas there. And Jesus enters the room and He says, Thomas, come over here. And so that's the second time that He showed Himself to the disciples, the apostles as a group. And now, this is the third time that He does it. And last week, we looked at this. It says there was Simon Peter, this is verse 2, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other disciples who are unnamed. There was, you count those, that means seven. Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. The others said, we're going too. We studied that last week. We're going fishing. They fish all night, right? How many fish they catch? Zero. Men who knew the fishing trade. They knew it. They knew how to do it. It was their job, as their livelihood before they met with Jesus. They went out fishing. They fished all night long. They caught nothing. I read one of the commentaries said they might have caught a few fish or they might have caught some trash fish. But it says they caught nothing. That may mean nothing they wanted to keep. I don't know. It may mean nothing. To me, it means nothing. It means an empty net came up. Either way, they tried and they failed. And when morning was come, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I love to read that. I love it because I can just picture them in the boat and this man, as far as they knew, just a man standing on the shore. Because so often, brethren, men, women, angels come into my life and I don't even recognize them. I'm so caught up in what I'm doing, I miss it. Over me. I just miss it. But these brethren, these men, they miss it. This man calls out, do you have any meat? Do you have any fish? Children, have you any meat? I don't know the background on this, but I think, brethren, that people maybe came to that shore to buy food, to buy meat. Fish. These men made a living fishing before they met Jesus. And they caught and they probably sold right there on the shore. And this man calls out to them, have you anything to eat maybe that I can buy from you? They thought they took him as a man, a customer, potential customer. And they say, no. And I said last week, when I did go fishing, I don't go very often, but when I did go, if I didn't catch any fish, it would irritate me for somebody to say, how'd you do? Have any luck? I didn't want to tell them I didn't catch any fish. I'm better than that, I thought. But these professional fishermen, brethren, they caught nothing. And they give him an answer in one word, no. No, we have nothing. And he said, this man calls out to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find them. You'll catch them. That, I guess, brethren, and I said to you, if I'd fished all night, I probably would not have bothered. But this man, that they didn't know it was Jesus, he said, well, throw out and you will catch them. So maybe if he just said, well, why don't you try the right side? Maybe they wouldn't have. I don't know. I put myself in their shoes. But if somebody said, look, throw again on that side and you'll catch them. Maybe that's what convinced them to do it. I'm just saying, I'd have been pretty hard to convince. I don't like to fish that much anyway. I don't mind it. But if I fished all night, I would have said I've had more than enough. I'm caught up on fishing. Therefore, that disciple, and when they cast therefore, and now were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. I love that. John and Peter are in the boat, and John says, hey, Peter, that's the Lord. No kidding. How could any man, not the Lord, say, well, you could say it, right? I could say it. Hey, guys, cast over there. It may mean absolutely nothing if I say it. But if Jesus says it, brethren, he says, cast over there and you'll find. And they did. And I'm going to run out of time before I get to my lesson. But some of you weren't here last week, and I want to refresh your recollection. And I love preaching about this. So it is the Lord. Simon Peter, he puts his fisher's coat on. He jumps in the water, and it doesn't say this, but he gets there first, brethren. He swims to the Lord. That's Simon Peter, brethren. That's him. The other disciples are in a little ship, and they're not far from land, 200 cubits, which I think is 300 feet. 100 yards maybe, dragging the net with fishes. They come and they get there, and verse 9 says, they see a fire. I love that. I love a fire. I love to sit around a fire. Another reason I love this passage so much, coals there, fish laid on it, and bread. When I was getting my notes together on this sermon and thinking about it, and I was going to say to y'all, you know, what a breakfast Jesus had prepared, fish and bread there, and he fed them. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Thursday night we're going to have a man to feed us fish and bread. Is that right, Brother Andy? Is that the plan? Oh, man, I like to eat fish. I like to eat them better than I like to catch them, I can tell you that. And especially if somebody else will catch them and fry them for me, I'll show up, brethren. The disciples came to shore, and they saw a fire and coals there and fish laid there on and bread. And Jesus said, bring of the fish. And I'm going to go fast here. And there's 153 of them. Great fishes, verse 11, it says. Great. I took that to be the size. It may be the type of fish. They're wonderful fish that everybody likes. I don't know, but they're big fish, I think. The net was not broken. Jesus says to them, verse 12, now we're getting, brethren, close to our lesson for today. Jesus says unto them, come and dine. I love that expression. And they don't ask who it is because they now know it's Jesus. And Jesus takes bread, verse 13, gives them, and fish likewise. Now, this is the third time that John said, this is the third time we were all in a group and Jesus shows up after he's risen from the dead. Now, verse 15, brethren, now for today. So when they had dined, breakfast is over. Their tummies are full. They're warm by the fire. I don't know if it's cold weather or not. I know there's a fire. He's cooking on a fire. I think it's a fire for warmth too, myself. I think they're wet, cold, tired, hungry. So Jesus met, brethren, right then, all of their physical needs. And it says in verse 15, John begins to tell us, now here comes the lesson, brethren. Here comes Jesus has, he's filled their net with fish. He's filled their tummies with fish. He's warmed them, and they're rested. Now, brethren, it's time to get to work about learning a lesson. And then that's what we need to right now get busy about. Let's get the lesson in this, another lesson in this. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, oh, he picks out Simon Peter, brethren. Oh, gosh, this is so good. Oh, Simon is there. He's the one who said, I don't know that guy. Oh, no, I'm not one of them. I'm not in that bunch. I'm not in that group. No, ma'am, I do not know him. And the third time he cursed and swore and said, I do not know him. And now, brethren, he's sitting there. Jesus has fed him and filled his net up with fish. That's the way Jesus is, brethren. That's the way he is. Have you ever denied him? Have you ever done something you're ashamed of? I've denied him. I've been in a groups of people many times, and I had an opportunity and a responsibility to say, don't talk like that, or no, I don't want to hear that, or I've had an opportunity to speak up, brethren, for good and against evil. And you know what? I just kept my mouth shut. Or worse than that, I just laughed along with everybody else. Shame on me. Shame on me. But you know what, brethren? I'm still in the family of God. Did you know that? I'm in it. Because nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You told me that this morning when you read from the Scriptures, when we all read together. I mean, I knew it already, but it's good to hear it again. And so, O Simon, brethren, or young Simon, because Jesus says, you're young now, man, and you're big and strong, and you think you can whip anybody, but there's coming a day when you'll reach out your arms and somebody will bind you and carry you where you don't want to go. But now, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? You see, he's in the group still. He's there. He's forgiven. Jesus loves him. When he denied Jesus, it was a shameful thing, and he shouldn't have done it, of course, but he's right here in the group right now, brethren. So that gives me comfort. That gives me comfort that though I have denied him and probably will again, shame on me, but I'm in the group, brethren. In fact, Mark says this, when the angel was, the women were at the empty tomb, Mary Magdalene and Mary, and there was three or four of them, Salome, I don't know how many there were, but there's several. They went there, and this angel in Mark 16, verse 7, is where it's recorded. He says, go tell his disciples and Peter. Isn't that good? I think it's included, brethren, just as a reassurance to make sure you tell Peter. To go into Galilee, that he's risen from the dead, and meet him in Galilee. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. That's Mark 16, verse 7. So Peter went. And while he was waiting, he told the other fellows, he said, I'm going fishing. So they go fishing, and then that brings us down to right here. So when they had dined, breakfast is over. Everybody's fed, warm, rested a little bit. Jesus, brethren, starts his lesson. And here's the lesson, brethren. All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for every one of us. So let's profit from this. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Okay, there's the question. Do you love me, Simon, more than these? Well, what's the these? What is he asking about? I wrote some things down. I preached on this to you all the 10th month of 2019. I don't know if you remember it, but it's worth looking at again. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I remember thinking back then, what is Jesus? What is the these here? Who or what is he talking about? Well, I got some possibilities for you, and then I'm going to say the one that I think it is. But one possibility is this. Do you love me more than the fish and the bread that I gave you? Do you love me more than this? More than, and that, Brother Andy, was the point I was going to say. Brother Andy's going to feed us fish and bread, God willing, next Thursday night. And I do love that. I do love it. And I plan to be right here. And I'm going to eat too, God willing. But brethren, I hope that when 7:30 comes, I'll be in here and I'll be hungry to hear the Word of God. I'll be full of fish and bread. I bet you I will. If I live and all goes well, I'll be full. But I hope I'll come into here and say, now let's get down to the holy manna right here. Let's get down to the heavenly food. That's what I want. That's what I want now. I mean, nothing to say. The fish won't be good, Brother Andy. And I want them, believe me. But I want the holy manna. I want that from on high. Simon, do you love me more than the fish and the bread? Maybe. Or worldly pleasures. Maybe that represents that. Do you love me more than that? Do you love me? Maybe it's these men, Simon. They're your buddies. You've been with them and you love John. They loved one another very much. And they went through a lot together. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration together. They were in the garden further than the rest of the disciples. They stuck together. They ran to the tomb together. John outran Peter, it says. But they both got there. They're buddies. But Jesus says, you love me more than these guys hanging out with your friends, Peter. You love me more than that. And Peter says, yes. He says, well, feed my sheep. Do you love me more than the 153 great fish? See, Peter, you can turn that into cash right now. Do you love me more than cash, Peter? Do you love me more than your old occupation, your worldly job? You caught a bunch of fish. You may be thinking about, well, I may just go back into business here. I mean, this following Christ ain't so easy. I may, the fish are out there and they're good, and I've got some cash here I can get. Do you love me, Peter, more than these? But what I really think it, what I think it is, brethren, and you think it, actually, it's all of them. It's all of them from one day to the next with me, or one week to the next with me, or one month to the next. It's all of them. Sometimes I love this right here. I love this more than Jesus. I'll get after this, the cash or the worldly things, before I'll serve Jesus. Sometimes I love my family more than I do Jesus. Do you know, I've had people say to me, Brother Mike, I couldn't come to church because my family came to my house. Who gave you the family? What you say to the family is, let's go load up tomorrow at about 10:30. We're going to head on over to the church. And if they say, well, we didn't bring clothes, or we don't like that preacher, or we're another denomination, or any of 100 possibilities or thousands, you say, well, I'm going. You know, y'all make yourself at home. I'll be back about 12:30. I'll be back. That's what you do. And you don't say, I'm on vacation. I took a vacation this week. Now, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much here, but we left Monday and came back Friday so I could get back for church. What is my job? But it's also my duty, brethren, because Jesus says, Mike, do you love me more than your vacation? Do you love me more than Big Cedar? It's a nice place. It's a wonderful, beautiful place. But Jesus is more important, brethren. And even if I'd been gone from Monday through Monday, I hope, brethren, and I hope that I would find me a church at Big Cedar. I rode around Missouri, and there are churches everywhere out there. So just pick one. Just say, God, send me to a church where I can be fed today on the holy manna. That's what I need to do. And I thought about this, brethren, because see, on vacation, our duty to love Jesus doesn't stop just because we're on vacation. I thought about this, brethren. What if my child is sick and I get on my knees and I say, oh, Lord, please spare my child. And the answer comes back, well, God's on vacation right now. He can't hear you. See, he's taking a vacation. You know, you take vacations. Well, why can't God take one? Oh, Lord, please, my baby is sick. Spare him. Oh, well, he's on vacation right now. Give him a ring in 3 or 4 days, you know. I mean, would you want that? Would you want to hear that from God? I wouldn't. So, brethren, don't take a vacation from God. Take a vacation, but don't take a vacation from serving God or worshiping God. Feed my lambs, Jesus says. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And I think, brethren, the question is, do you love me more than these is this. Brother Mike, do you love God more than Brother Ron Brown does? And I don't think it's a contest, brethren. It's not a contest, but it's a question. Are you serving God to your utmost? Are you serving God? Are you doing better than the others? Now, we're not to compare ourselves with ourselves. The Word of God says, don't do that. I'm not to compare myself with you as far as serving God. But I think the question is, Simon Peter, there's 6 other apostles here. Do you love me more than they love me? And Jesus wasn't trying to start trouble here. He just says, if you think you do, then Simon, serve me. Just serve me first. Put me first. I think that for a lot of reasons, brethren, but another one is this. When Jesus says, follow me, and apparently they're literally walking off somewhere, and Peter looks around and he sees John following, and he says, well, what's John going to do? See, that to me sort of speaks to the fact that Jesus says, don't worry about the other people and what they're doing. You just serve me. I ask you, Peter. I ask you. You ever been in a group where the teacher or somebody asks a question and somebody blurts out something and says, wait a minute, I ask him, not you. I'm talking to him. Jesus says, I'm talking to you, Simon. Do you love me more than these? whether it's the food items, the men, the fish, do you love me? And Jesus knows the answer. In fact, Peter knew that Jesus knew, because he says, "You know everything. You know that I love you." Okay. My daddy used to sometimes ask me a question, and I'd answer him, and he'd ask the question. Immediately, he'd ask it again. In other words, like, wait, now, think about this before you answer. He didn't say that. He would just ask the question again, but I would get the message. Think about it. Do you love me? And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Serve me. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. Simon, if you love me, feed my sheep. Serve me. Now he tells him, brethren, in verse 18, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, you girded yourself. You went where you wanted to go. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Some say that means, well, John says it. This spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. Peter was crucified. The Bible doesn't tell us that. It says he'll be girded and he'll be taken where he doesn't want to go. But I believe he was crucified. And tradition says that he was. Well, I won't tell you what tradition says. I don't. But it is my understanding that Peter was crucified in his old age. And God said, you serve me. It's not going to be easy, Peter. But you say you love me. So you serve me. Follow me. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, here's a word of warning, brethren, to all of us. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That's John. Verse 21, Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Oh, brethren, have you ever seen that saying, if we didn't worry about who got the credit, there's just no limit on what we could do. We didn't worry about who got the credit. Jesus said, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And there's the end of our scripture lesson for today. I'm going to stop after I say this, brethren. Lovest thou me more than these? That is a question, brethren, for me. That's a question for you. And I'm not asking you, brethren. Jesus asked that question. I hope you do. I hope I do. But we got to show it, brother. We got to demonstrate it. There's a lot of more than these. There's a thousand things that'll fit in that blank. The word thee. Lovest thou me more than blank. There's all kinds of things that'll fit in there. But I want to tell you, brethren, you love Jesus first, and he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of it always. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that what I've said today is according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that your word will penetrate our hearts or prick our hearts. Oh, Lord, teach us. May we put it into practice as the brethren have prayed over and over in this place. May we practice it. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.